By the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on homeschool right after this. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. It's a foreign and alien ideology. Traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. Now, these foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. We covet our neighbor's property, and then we call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures called Federal Reserve notes. And then we practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods that we call government. And we're not getting away with these crimes either. We're paying about 75% of everything we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged homes owned by savings and loan companies. We drive cars that are owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. The average family of four has a $70,000 consumer debt. We owe a $7 trillion national debt, and we're surety for another $44 trillion of unfunded government obligations. Our financial institutions are leveraged out to $60 trillion worldwide, and our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter Ponzi scheme. We live from paycheck to paycheck, and then we're taught in our public schools to call all of this prosperity. Now, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention followed that better way. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life than income tax and Social Security, why don't you call and ask for my free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call right now. The number's 417-273-4967 to order your free CD package. Remember, that's 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org, click on the email machine, and just send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about homeschool. Homeschool. What's wrong with public school, and what's right about parental education? The opposite to public school is parental education. And what's the cause and effect with the world's greatest if we were to practice what the public school system advocates, that is, every single boy and girl in America would go to college? What would be the end result? If we ever achieve that nirvana, that ultimate goal of every single child in America is going to go to college and become a professional. You ever thought about that? Ever since I was a little kid, they have been promoting this thing of college. I've never seen any educator promote the trades. I've never seen any educator say, you should go and learn to be a plumber, carpenter, electrician. You should learn to be a Mr. Goodwrench mechanic. You should learn to be a blacksmith, a farmer, or some kind of a blue-collar tradesperson. Not once. And I'm an old man already. I think I'm going to die and molder in my grave for a good long time before any educator ever promotes the trades. They all promote college. They're all selling this idea that you want to be a doctor, a dentist, a psychologist, psychiatrist, an engineer, or an educator, a college professor, or something else. Now, we've been doing that for about 75 years. And of course, if you're an educator, you're a college professor, you want to sell your product. And the product that they're selling is higher education. And they've been selling that product for 75 years. They've got it funded and subsidized by the government. And the governments at all levels believe that it's a fundamental right of every child in America to go to college. But when you go to college, you don't work. People that come out of college stop working. You've never seen a college professor change a fan belt in his car, have you? Now, somebody has to change those fan belts and the radiator hoses, and somebody has got to plumb. Somebody's got to clean out those drains that are plugged up. You got to have somebody out here that's building houses or making or building automobiles. But in America, we find that in 1960, 53% of the gross domestic product, a little over half of the GDP, gross domestic product, was manufacturing. Today it's 9%. Well, you know, it makes all the sense in the world. In 1960, we had a lot of people that were trained in the trades. My Uncle Buster told me to learn the trades. He encouraged me to learn a trade. He encouraged me to become a mechanic. He encouraged me to become a plumber, a carpenter. I've got four trades. I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter, and I'm a mechanic. I'm also a boiler and heating and sheet metal contractor. I went into the contracting business in all four of those trades. I'm a tradesman. Never went to college. I'm an illiterate, uneducated, antisocial savage, a right-wing radical, blue-collar fanatic. They call them rednecks down here in the South. Now, what would be the cause and effect that if every child in America could become a college graduate with a profession, a title, letters after his name? Well, there would be no workers left in America. Zero workers. None. Zero. Zilch. There wouldn't be a single mechanic. There would be no plumbers, carpenters. There would be not a single garbage man. No taxi drivers. Everybody's a professional. Well, then, we would have to import laborers from Mexico, wouldn't we? And isn't that what we're doing? In other words, the cause and effect relationship with all of this hype on college is that we have turned America into a nation of professionals who are incapable of providing for themselves. So who's going to make the beds at the Holiday Inn? Well, the only people that you can get to do that now are going to be Mexicans, the illiterate, uneducated savages of the South. And so they come up here by the tens of thousands. In fact, I understand that there's around 300,000 to 400,000 of them coming across the border, illegal aliens coming into the United States every year. Now, of course, Americans are complaining about this avalanche of all of these undocumented aliens coming into the United States, and business loves them because Americans won't work. You can't get an American to pick up bales of hay in the field. When I was a kid, during summer vacation, we went out and worked on the farms, and we bucked bales, and we tramped silage. We milked cows. We did those farm jobs. We picked fruit. Not in America today. You won't find any white or black American out here picking fruit, bucking bales. We spend our time when we're used in the air-conditioned arcades, in the shopping malls. We're playing video games. We're watching television. We're going to college. We're getting our degrees, and we're going to retire right after graduation. But we sure as hell aren't going to work. That's for sure. Now, the foreigners would make up a larger and larger percentage of our population until we would be displaced in our own land. Have you ever thought about that? You see, in 1960, 90% of Americans were white. 10% were all others. Today, 68% of us are white, and 32% of us are all others. And by the year 2050, they expect it to be 50-50. They'd be half white and half all others. And by the year 2100, 95 years from now, the population is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 38% white and about 62% all others. Do you think that that is going to spell out or portend for the future some kind of demographic, political, economic shift? Now, that's where we're headed. And that's what college is providing. That's what college is producing. Now, evidently, we must want that. That's what we're buying. Evidently, that's what we want. Now, doctors, lawyers, teachers, engineers, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, journalists, dentists, professors, judges, criminologists, physicists, mathematicians, corporate businessmen, bankers, and clergy. That's what America is becoming, a nation of professionals with no workers, no one able to carry out or take out the garbage. Now, we would have the highest numbers of lawyers in the world with the least amount of justice. And that's just about where we're at today. We have the largest number of lawyers per capita of any nation in the world. We have the greatest amount of lawsuits. We have more lawsuits than any other society on planet Earth. And we have less justice. We don't have a justice system. What we have is an adversarial system. We have a game that we play. There are winners and losers. We would have the highest number of doctors in the world and the highest disease rate, and that's precisely where we're at today. Americans have the highest rate of disease in the world. We are the sickest nation on the planet. 99% of us have symptoms. 60% of us had good health in 1918. Today, only 1% of us have good health today. Although most Americans say that they're in good health, well, of course, so you're in good health as long as you have your Dristan and your antihistamines and your pills to pop, and you've got your insulin to take. You diabetics take insulin, and you're in good health. I don't think people that are on insulin and diabetic are in good health. We have cataracts, and so we have cataract surgery. So we have cataract lenses. We have bad eyesight, so we have glasses. And if we don't want to show people our glasses, then we want to show them our contacts. If we can't hear, we have a hearing aid. And if we don't want people to know we've got a hearing aid, we buy one of the expensive models that fits inside the ear. Now, we would have the highest number of doctors in the world with the highest rates of disease. That would be the outcome of everybody going to college. Everybody doesn't go to college, but we've already got that outcome. So it doesn't take 100%. It just takes a large percentage. We would have the highest number of criminologists along with the highest crime rate in the world with more people in jail. And sure enough, that's where we're at. We have more criminologists than anybody else in the world. We have more people locked up in our prisons than anybody else in the world. We have more people locked up in prison than we have farmers farming. Now that tells you something. We have more lawyers than anybody else in the world and more crime. We have more criminologists and more people locked up in jail than anybody in the world. And that's what the professions provide. I mean, after all, you get what you pay for. If you want more lawyers, you're going to have more crime. If you want more criminologists, you're going to have more people locked up in prison. We would have the world's largest economy, along with the world's biggest banks, and the world's greatest debt on earth. We owe $149 trillion. We're approaching a trillion dollar a year balance of payments deficit. We've got the world's biggest banks, and we have the world's greatest debt. America used to be the world's number one creditor nation. Today, we're the world's number one debtor nation. And the more professionals that we put into the ranks, the worse the situation becomes. Now, we loathe work, and we loathe the trades. Everybody looks down on a plumber, a carpenter, an electrician, a garbage man, or a mechanic. They're a bunch of nobodies going nowhere. What we want to be is doctors, lawyers. We want to be professionals. Okay, well, here we are. Now, we would have the largest, most expensive education system in the world and the world's most ignorant children. And you know, we're there already. We don't have everybody in America with a college degree, but we already have the world's most expensive education system. It costs, on average, $7,000 plus to educate a child in the public schools today. And they have among the world's lowest, the lowest educational standards anywhere in the world. And the performance that comes out of the children is about in the middle to the low end. It's not at the high end in any of the academics. So while we spend more money trying to educate more children to have more and more degrees, they end up dumber and dumber. And it's called the dumbing down of America, as Charlotte Isherby calls it. So if we embark upon a goal or a program to educate every child in America in the professions, we will end up with the world's most ignorant children and the most expensive education system, and we already have it. We would have all of the world's largest, most far-reaching media system and the worst and the poorest informed people on planet Earth, and we have it. We have ABC and NBC. We have 500 channels of television. We have satellite dishes coming out our earballs. And as a result of it, when we get down on the bottom line, you'd think that we would be the world's most informed people. I mean, our students would be coming out of the schools. I mean, they'd be so smart that we wouldn't be able to stand them. But we find that the academic achievement of these students is absolutely abysmal. It defies description. We'd have the biggest corporations and multinational companies in the world and the most corrupt business leaders on Earth, and we call that Enron, Global Crossing, and Tyco. I mean, we've already arrived. We're already there. We already have the most corrupt fascist business system in the world, backed up by the world's biggest army, by the way, so that we can go out here and steal the oil that we need from the Arabs in the Middle East. Now, we would have the world's largest and most far-reaching social services network, removing nearly 3 million children from their homes every year, and we're already there. We have Social Lady, and Social Lady has to have a job, and so she's out constantly marauding around looking for people who are neglecting and abusing their children. But that's because you people are all incompetent. Now, you'd think that with more and more people having more and more degrees after their name, they would be more and more competent, but evidently they're not. So as people become more and more educated, they become less and less competent and need more and more social ladies to come out and tell them how to raise their kids because they're so damn smart that they're unable to do the simple things in life, you know, like whip the kid, teach him morality, teach him sex education. And talking about the level of education, up to 72 million American adults are functionally illiterate, unable to read and write above the fifth grade level. 26 million cannot read or write at all. Illiteracy rates run as high as 47% for 17-year-old minority youth, 60% for prison inmates, and 75% for unemployed people. The number of adult illiterates is increasing by about 2.3 million each year. We graduate more and more teachers, and we spend more and more money on education, and we have dumber and dumber people as a result of it. How do you explain that? I would submit to you that if we could spend $14,000 a year per child, they'd be so damn dumb they couldn't find their way to school, which might be a step in the right direction. Now, we'd have more dentists per capita than any other country in the world, along with the highest rate of tooth decay on Earth. That's already here. We Americans have the highest rate of tooth decay. We have more dentists than anybody else in the world per capita, and we have the poorest dental hygiene in the world. How do you explain that? You'd think that in America there wouldn't be a single cavity. Everybody's teeth would be perfect. We've got enough orthodontists over here to straighten out more teeth than anybody else in the world. We have more dental problems in this country. And, of course, the more dentists you have, the more dental problems you're going to have because dentists are out there to sell dentistry. Criminologists are out there to sell crime. Lawyers are out there to sell lawsuits. And if you want more and more lawsuits, you need more and more lawyers. If you want more and more people locked up in jail, you need more and more criminologists. If you want more and more tooth decay, more and more bad dental hygiene, you need more and more dentists to sell more and more of it. And in addition, we would end up with more psychiatrists than any other nation in the world, while at the same time we would have the world's largest population of mentally unbalanced people on psychotropic drugs like Ritalin and Prozac. And we do. We have 3 million children in our public school system on Ritalin every day. I mean, we're training these children to be drug addicts from the cradle up. After all, health comes from a pill, doesn't it? Now, in the Bible, God says that there's 7 things that he doesn't like in life. 7 things. You'll find this in the book of Proverbs. It says 7 things that God hates. And the first thing that he hates is a proud look. He says, God, I hate proud looks. Well, have you seen the 16-year-old pimply-faced punk-ass girls and boys smoking? The girls are dressed like whores, and the boys are dressed like queers, and they hang around in their gang mode at the DX service station or out here in the battlefield mall leaning up against their cars, just kind of cruising, just kind of hanging out. That's America's youth today, a proud look. Where'd they learn that? Didn't they all go to public school? Didn't they all learn how to dress in the modern style, to give everybody the finger, to do his own thing? The second thing God tells us he hates is a lying tongue, and evolution is a scientific lie. It is promulgated by pseudoscientists in the guise of teachers who are wolves in sheep's clothing, lying hypocrites. And where did they learn evolutionary philosophy? In the public school. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. And when we take a look at the hands shedding innocent blood, here are your 17 top crimes in public schools: rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide. Come on, boys and girls, that comes from public school. 17 of them. Number four, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Last time I read you this little section, came out of America to Pray or Not to Pray. Remember that? America, to Pray or Not to Pray. David Barton, listen to this. Sex. Students across the nation are being provided with materials in their sex education classes from groups like Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood and similar groups recommend for adolescents, here's boys and sex. More and more people are coming to understand that having sex is a joyful and enriching experience at any age. Playing with girls sexually before adolescence increases the chances for a satisfactory sex life when a boy grows up. And premarital intercourse does have its definite values as a training ground for marriage. Boys and girls who start having intercourse when they're adolescents will find that it's a big help. It's like taking a car out on a test run before you buy it. Page 117. That's a lie. And these teachers in the public schools that teach these lies create a heart that devises wicked imaginations. And furthermore, these teachers have wicked imaginations and are teaching that wickedness and evil to your children in the public schools. Girls, we don't want to leave the girls out. Girls understand now that they're far more likely to make good social and sexual adjustments to life if they learn to be warm, open, responsive, and sexually unafraid. They're learning to be sexual partners of men. Page 10 and 11. Yes, they're learning to be whores. You know, if you want your child to grow up to be a whore, you can't find a better training ground than public school. Unless you sent the child over to Flo's whorehouse for a direct education from a tutor, you can't beat public school for turning out whores and sodomites. Now, number five, God says he hates feet that be swift in running to mischief. Well, what runs to mischief? You know, things like vaccinations, the census, usury, public school, home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts. And that's what the public schools teach, because they have feet that are swift in running to mischief, and they teach it to your children. Number six, God says he hates a false witness that speaks lies. Now take a look at page 64 here. I'm going to flip over to it. Let me read to you a little story here about conflicting academic standards. And this, by the way, comes from the book America to Pray or Not to Pray by David Barton. Let me clear this step. All right, we're back. A false witness that speaks lies. Listen to this. Even though students' achievement test scores have fallen dramatically since 1962-63, their report card scores have actually risen. The top graph reflects students' report card grades collected and released by the American College Testing Program, the producers of the ACT test. By examining only report card scores in the top graph, you would easily conclude that students were showing academic improvement. After all, their report card scores are rising year after year. However, the bottom chart reveals that students' achievement as measured on the ACT test, that's a college-bound test similar to the SAT, has been declining during the same time. Students have actually been receiving higher grades in school for knowing less. That's a clear contradiction in educational standards. That's a false witness. Teachers are giving test scores. Teachers are giving grades that the students don't deserve, haven't earned, and can't make. They're liars, false witnesses. And then finally, number seven, God says that he hates he that sows discord among brethren. Well, the National Education Association, the largest teachers union, adopted a resolution saying that homeschools cannot provide a comprehensive education and urging, this is the NEA, they urge that licensed certified teachers be allowed to teach children in any school, public, private, or home. That the only people who should be allowed to teach your child is one of these NEA teachers, certified government teachers. What are they going to teach your child? How to be a whore? How to be a sodomite? going to teach your child how to have a proud look and a lying tongue with no absolutes, no rights, no wrongs, no moral guidance, coupled with drugs like Ritalin, Thorazine, and then produce suicidal murders such as we see in the public schools nationwide? You know, you don't hear about these murder-suicides going on in Baptist schools and Catholic schools and homeschools. Why is it in the public schools, boys and girls? Have you thought about that? Is it the moral decadence, the filth, and the outright perversion that goes on in those public schools that you send your boys and girls to? Now, that's what we would get if we sent every child to college and every child in America ended up with a college degree. And you know, we haven't reached that level yet, and that's exactly where we're at today. We have all of these evils, all of these problems. I don't know what the percentage of college graduates is in America. I doubt that it's reached 50%. I hope it hasn't. Now, there's a solution to this morass of problem over here. Jerk your kid out of the public school and educate him at home in what's known as a parental education system. I don't care if you're a Catholic, Protestant, or a Jew, or a Mormon, or a Muslim, or who in the hell you are. Take your kid out of this public school filth, perversion, and morass, and educate them to your standards. I probably don't agree with your morals or your standards, but it's 10 times further ahead than what we've got in public school. And if you'd like a little help along that public school line, just call the law school. Remember, the number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And we'll try to steer you onto the system that we've used here. Our daughter, our last daughter here, the one, we got a bunch of kids, you know, but our last one's 17 years old. When she was 12, she was scoring at the 12th grade level. When she was in the 7th grade, she could have graduated from high school in the 7th grade. Not because she's so smart, it's because the rest of the students are so damn dumb. Dumb. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right, I got to give you a little reminder here so that you don't blame the advertisers and the sponsors for the rantings and the ravings of this right-wing lunatic fringe over here. You're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law. That's how to get divorced and still maintain your lifestyle. Tax law, that's how to stop paying income and Social Security taxes and live your life happily ever after. Courtroom strategy and procedure, that's to teach you how to learn how to go defend yourself against this army of lawyers graduating out of our law schools every time you get sued. And then business law, how to make a living without a Social Security number. Agricultural law, how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. Civil rights, how to defend your constitutional and God-given rights that didn't come from the government, by the way. And then biblical law, from the scriptural perspective. That's the Bible. I know, that dirty, rotten, low-down, no-good, evil, rotten Bible. We teach that here at the law school. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact discs, so if you can't come to school, we'll bring the school to you. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, so if you want to go back and pick up on one of these lessons, one of these stories, one of these series, you know, just go to the website and you can download it on your own CD free of charge. How's that for a plan? And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just go to the telephone and call 417-273-4967 and order that introductory CD package. It's free of charge. That's area code 417-273-4967. And finally, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or the management or the staff of this network or local radio station, who right now are pulling their hair out, wondering why in the world this radical lunatic fringe is on the air. But if you would like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, you can do so by going to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. Hey, just what's wrong with public school anyway? You hear me over here beating my gums? Well, let's take a look at what's wrong with public school. 60 things that I can say are wrong with public school. Get your pencils out here, sharpen it on both ends so that you don't run out of lead here. Number one, public school is anti-God. It isn't just anti-Mormon God or anti-Jewish God or anti-Baptist God. I mean, it is anti-God of any description. Public school is anti-prayer. They don't want any prayers in the public school. Number three, public school is anti-Ten Commandments. Don't you dare bring up thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not commit adultery. Number four, public school is at best amoral. And number five, public school is at its worst, it is immoral. Immoral. Remember, it was George Washington that made the observation that you cannot divorce morality from religion. You can't divorce morality from religion. I think old George was exactly right. So you've got to have education with Mormon theology, education with Jewish theology, education with Baptist theology. You've got to have religion if you want morality. Take your brand, take your pick. Number six, public school costs twice as much as private school. You can send a kid to private school for $3,500 a year. Tops. I mean, you can get a good one. I think the average, last time I looked, the average private school in America was running around $2,700. Just add another $500, $600, $700 over the last 5 years for inflation. I think $3,500. That's half. Half. Now get this. Public school turns out students at the 50th percentile on average nationwide, except in the inner cities where it's 28%. But the parochial schools are 80%, 80th percentile for half as much money. What's the percentage there? Take 50, divide that by 80. You can get 60% better education for half as much money in parochial school. 60% better education, 60% smarter kid for half as much money. Now, can you tell me why the teachers in the parochial schools that get half as much money as the public school teachers have the same licenses, same bonds, same teaching credentials, can turn out smarter kids than the public school? Can you figure that out? And they tell us the solution is more money, more money. Well, you got that from Zach Montgomery. He showed you plainly. The more money you spend, the poorer the results. The more money you spend, the dumber the kid. Number seven, it costs 10 times more than homeschool. Public school costs 10 times more than homeschool. Last time we checked, $546 a year for a homeschool program for one child. $546 a year. $7,000 in public school. $3,500 in private school. $546 to educate a child at home in parental education. And they score at the 87th percentile. Highest academic achievement comes from parental education and homeschool, and it costs the least, which is exactly what Zach Montgomery said. The more money you spend, the dumber the kid. The less money, the smarter. Number eight, public school graduates students who cannot read. And number nine, public school employs incompetent teachers. Public school employs incompetent teachers. Number 10, public school employs sodomites as teachers. Sodomites. I mean, that's almost as good as Catholic school. I mean, the Catholics admit that up in Boston, that 33%, one-third, one preacher, one father, one bishop, one cardinal out of three is either one homosexual or a pedophile. Now, that's in Boston. Boys and girls, do you think that it's any less in Los Angeles, Chicago, or Miami? And if you do, I've got a bridge to some. Number 11, public school teaches our children communism. The 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto is public school. Number 11, number 12, public school teaches our children socialism, not property and property rights. Public school teaches children to share and share alike from each according to his ability and to each according to his need, not private property rights. That's mine. Thou shalt not steal. Keep your hands off of my property. Number 13, public school teaches our children abortion. After all, abortion is just unwanted tissue. Number 14, public school teaches our children sodomy. It's called alternative lifestyles. Why don't we teach our children sodomy is wrong, period. Prohibited by God, period. Don't do it. And the sodomites will take care of themselves. They die from age 39 to 45. That's the average. 39 if they die from AIDS, 45 from hepatitis. I think sodomy will take care of itself. Teach your children to stay away from it. Number 15, public school teaches our children fornication. I showed you that. Take the neighbor girl out and lay her in the back of your Chevy van. Number 16, it teaches our children whoredom. Yeah, your girls should all go out and learn how to get diddled by the neighbor boy. Number 17, it teaches our children witchcraft. That's what they teach them, you know, on Halloween. They also teach them birthdays. That's witchcraft. They also give them Ritalin and teach them how to use drugs. That's witchcraft. Number 18, it teaches the seven things that God hates. I covered that a little earlier. Seven things that God says he hates. All seven of them come right out of public school. Number 19, public school is a place for rape. Number 20, it's a place for robbery. 21, it's a place for bombings. 22, it's a place for murder. 23, it's a place for arson. Public school is a place for burglary. Public school is a place for vandalism. Public school is a place to learn extortion, drugs, venereal disease, abortion, and evolution. Remember those 17 things? Rape, robbery, bombings, murder, arson, burglary, vandalism, extortion, drugs, and venereal disease. Number 30, it teaches evolution. Evolution, that pseudoscientific, that religious ideology called the miracle of random chance. Let me tell you a little story here. Let me break in. I was out here. I got a fellow over here that's trying to learn how to milk a cow. I sold him a cow the other day. He wanted to learn how to milk it. And so he's been coming over here every night. And he's got a little boy about 9 years old. And I was sitting on the bucket and I was explaining some of the intricacies of a cow. You know, cows are pretty neat inventions. For instance, did you know that when a calf is sucking on a cow's teat, T-E-A-T, they call it out here in the sticks, we just call them tits. when that calf is sucking on that cow's teat, his saliva coats that teat. Did you know that? Somebody just said, duh. Yeah, well, listen up. The saliva coats that teat. On that teat, there are receptors. And that saliva hits those receptors, and the cow's receptors on her teats identify the nutrients in the calf's saliva. I tell you, boys and girls, the miracle of random chance, happenstance, and accident is just overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. Anyway, the saliva is all over this tit, and this tit is got these receptors, and these receptors are taking in this information, and this information is registering in the cow. I'm not sure. I guess this cow's sitting there saying, oh my God, the calf is short iron and vitamin A and vitamin C. And I guess the cow is sitting there taking notes as she's chewing her cud, getting milk. Well, anyway, the bottom line is this. That cow will then go out, and she'll start eating, and if she's a range cow like mine are, she'll go down into the woods, and she will eat weeds. She'll eat thistles. She'll eat oak leaves. She'll eat cedar berries. I mean, she'll eat some of the damnedest crap you ever saw in your life. And she'll come back in the next milking, and you can take a sample of her milk, and in the deficiencies, you know, that this calf was short a little vitamin C, a little vitamin A, a little iron and magnesium, and you'll find those four items right there in her milk in the very next milking. Now let's hear it for evolution. God, you know, God could never come up with half of the miracles of just random chance. Now, Cuddy. All right, so public school, number 31, teaches crime in the form of the census. Did you know that taking a census is a crime? God prohibits that. Just thought I'd let you know. And they teach, so that's good. You know, you should do that. Teach your children how to do that. Number 32, public school teaches crime in the form of vaccinations. In fact, they'll tell you, you got to have your shot record up to date or you can't come to school. Well, that's a good reason not to have your kids vaccinated. They wouldn't let them come to public school. Then they couldn't get dumbed down. Number 33, it teaches crime in the form of public education. This public education is the exact opposite of parental education. We've been talking about that. It violates four statutes in the scripture where God says, now here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to teach that kid. You're wondering what this kid ought to learn? Well, then sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and listen up. Here's what I want you to teach that kid. Four of them. Number 34, it teaches crime in the form of income tax. Did you know the income tax is a crime? It takes the place of tithing. God said, you give me your 10%. I'll be your God, and I'll give you your benefits. And the government came along and said, no, give us 42%, and we'll give you aid to families with dependent children, Social Security, and old age, and retirement, and pensions. And so we bought the income tax. Number 35, public school teaches crime in the form of Social Security. Did you know that Social Security is a crime? Yeah, it's called limited liability. And God requires strict liability. Now, I know those are legal terms, and they're way beyond most of you boys and girls, and you can't understand those terms because you went to public school, and you probably can't read and write. And if you're wondering why, well, you've been dumbed down. Now, I'm a recovering public school victim. I went to public school, and it took me another 50 years, and I'm still not quite recovered, but I'm well on my way to full health. Number 36, public school teaches crime in the form of insurance. Insurance. You know, you've got auto insurance and health insurance and life insurance and homeowners insurance. You got all these insurances out there. All of them violate strict liability. Public school teaches crime in the form of usury and banking. So they teach you, well, pay interest in usury and borrow money from the bank and then get credit cards and bury yourself in debt. Don't own anything. My God, heaven forbid that you should own your home or own your automobile. You don't want that. You want to have an equitable interest in somebody else's car. You want to have a car that you're paying $800 a month for, that you paid $50,000 for and today is worth $30,000, so that you've got a negative balance. That is, you get a negative equity in your automobile and in your house and everything else that you've got. Public school teaches crime in the form of unjust weights. They teach how to use Federal Reserve notes, checks, credit cards, mortgages, and all kinds of paper, commercial paper instruments instead of gold and silver and wheat, corns, beans, honeys, and oil. My God, we certainly don't want to have just weights and balances now, do we? Public school teaches crime in the form of home mortgages. Home mortgage. Did you know that's a crime? Did you know that our founding fathers didn't have home mortgages? Did you know all those settlers, you know, that were trudging out from St. Louis out to the Willamette Valley, built their own homes, even if it was a sod shack in the middle of the Nebraska prairie? But by God, they owned it. They weren't making any payments to the bank. They weren't indebted and enslaved to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Public school teaches crime in the form of credit cards. It teaches crime in the form of checking accounts. Public school teaches crime in the form of bank loans. Public school teaches crime in the form of consumer credit. Public school teaches crime in the form of auto loans. And every one of these is a violation of the statutes, the judgments, and the commandments of God Almighty at Mount Sinai. Now, I know that most of you don't give a rat's ass one way or the other, but I just thought I'd suggest to you that you consider it. It's a wild new concept. You know, the average Joe six-pack American, he's got auto loans, consumer credit, bank loans, checking accounts, credit cards, a home mortgage. He deals in unjust weights and balances. Usually in banking, he's insured. And he says, I don't see any problem with that. America is the world's number one debtor nation. We used to be the world's number one creditor nation. Boys and girls, if you want to be up to your eyeballs in debt, you got trained and educated in the right place, public school. And if you want your children to carry on the finest traditions of mom and dad, along with auto loans, consumer credit, bank loans, checking accounts, credit cards, home mortgages, unjust weights and balances, usury, banking, and insurance, along with Social Security and income tax, you can't find a better educational institution than your local public school, where for only $7,000 a year, twice as much as you pay at the local Catholic school, 10 times more than you'd pay if you educated your kid at home, you can have all of these criminal activities inculcated into your child. Hell, you can turn your daughters into whores and your sons into sodomites. Right there at your local public school. There's no better place. Number 45, public school is a place where children carry weapons. You know, I've got a home school here, and my daughter has several guns, and my daughter knows how to use them all, and she picks, never had her pull a gun on me, never had her threaten anybody. She knows how to load and unload, and she knows how to shoot, aim. She knows how, you know, to clean the carcass after she kills it, and pretty talented young woman. Never have I heard or even suspected that she was going to use that gun on herself or on somebody else, or that she was going to misuse it in any way. Of course, we have a home school here, and we teach guns and gun usage. Number 46, did you know that public school is a place for teen pregnancy? 10% of the female graduates in 2005 were pregnant when they came out of high school. Did you know that? Down in Houston, Texas, they got schools down there that have daycare centers right in the public schools. That's so that the girls, you know, that have babies can go to public high school, and they've got a daycare center there with a place for them to park their kid. Public school is a place, it's a babysitting service is what it is. And so now they got a babysitting service in the babysitting service. I imagine one of these days you can have dumb pregnant women in their 40s who are still going to high school who will have dumb pregnant daughters going to the same high school with a daycare center where they can park their dumb, ignorant babies. Three generations in the same public high school. I mean, if we keep after it, then we should have reached that goal, maybe within the next 20 years. Number 47, it is a place where children fear for their safety. It's a place where teachers fear for their safety. Public school is a place with no absolutes. Public school is a place with no right or wrong. Public school is a place of mediocrity at best. Public school is a place of underachievement. That's why they call this No Child Left Behind. I've got to tell you a little story here. Make a mark here. Underachievement. There's a kid in New York City, and he had cerebral palsy. I guess he still has it. It costs $250,000 a year to educate this kid in public school. He's in a wheelchair that's motorized wheelchair. This kid can't talk. He can't read and write. I don't know what his brain capacity is, but his parents want this child educated at public expense at $250,000 a year. Now, it's a tragedy that this child is incapacitated. But to send that child to school with some kind of a belief that this child is ever going to amount to anything is preposterous poppycock. And it doesn't make any difference if you're spending $250,000 or $250,000,000,000. You're not going to do anything for him, but you can slow everybody else down to the least common denominator called mediocrity. Let's suppose that we keep every other child at the same level as this child. Did it ever occur to us that some children are smarter than others? Did it ever occur to us that some people are what we call child progenies? Prodigies, I guess they call it. Yeah, you know, there's a kid I saw on TV the other day. Just goes to show you that I'm an all-American watching TV. And this kid is about, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. And I think he's working on his doctorate now. He's in some university, like Harvard. I mean, this kid isn't even old enough to shave yet, and he's working on his doctorate. Now, did it ever occur to you that that kid maybe is a little bit smarter than the rest of us? Don't you think that instead of slowing him down to the least common denominator, the slowest kid in the class, so that everybody graduates from the fourth to the fifth grade or the fifth to the sixth grade all at the same time, don't you think maybe we ought to take the best and the brightest and smartest and accelerate them? What would happen if Thomas Edison had been slowed down by public school? I mean, he left at the third grade and went on and did something intelligent. And that's what this No Child Left Behind is all about. Public school is a place of ignorance. Public school stimulates suicide. Public school stimulates alcohol abuse. Public school stimulates gangs and gang wars. Have you ever heard of any Catholic gangs warring against competing Catholic gangs in Catholic schools or warring against the competing gangs at the Baptist high school? Have you heard of that? Have you heard of any homeschool gangs that are out here laying for some other homeschool gang? Come on, boys and girls, let's grow up and smell the coffee. Number 57, public school is a place of declining academic standards and has been since the 1960s. Public school inflates student grade point averages. They lie about the averages or the students' accomplishments. And 59, it turns out students who can't qualify for entry-level jobs. Remember that story? And number 60, there is no aspect of public school that's worth emulating. Did you know that? That was on page 79. Let me flip over here to this. Page 79. There isn't a single aspect of public school that's worth emulating. In Japan, they sent a bunch of Japanese over here to take a look at our public schools and see if they could learn something. And here's what the Japanese came up with. It is not our intention that contents of the current American educational system be proposed as elements of educational reform in Japan. Recently, the outcome of common math tests showed Japanese kids scoring higher than Americans, and Mr. Amagaji, who led the study for the Ministry of Education in Japan, said, quote, American scholars, Mr. Amagaji went on, seem to share the view that the American educational system has fallen into mediocrity. American children register very bad scores on international tests. Quoting from recent studies by American educators, the Japanese researchers cited the worries in the United States about teacher skills, dropout rates, poor student performance, and lowered college standards. It is a potent commentary on the current state of American education when, after 2 years of extensive study, the Japanese researchers could find no specific aspect of American education worthy of emulating. You get that? 2 years, the Japanese came over here and said they couldn't find a single aspect of American education considered worth emulating in Japan. And you want to send your kid to an education system like that? Well, let me tell you, the Japanese would not send a single Japanese child to an American school, and they wouldn't emulate anything that they found over here that comes out of the public education system here in the United States. How do you like that? Now, if you'd like to take your kid out of the public school and to think about that, call the law school, area code 417-273-4967. That's area code 417-273-4967. Just ask, what do I do to pull my kid out of public school? Can you help me along that line? And the answer is, yeah, we can do that. Hey, I'm about out of time. I got to wrap it up. Remember, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. We'll be back tomorrow night. Take a little further look here at this thing of public school, the public school system, and homeschooling, and what's better about homeschooling. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to the website, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events. We do it 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. We'll leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.